Revolutions taking place across the Middle East and North Africa are a real opportunity for teachers, or at least one would think. But with a curriculum geared toward standardized tests, some New York City high school teachers say they're having a hard time squeezing in lessons about the events in Egypt and Libya. WNYC's Beth Fertig visited a school in Brooklyn that's trying to make time.
When the demonstrations started in Egypt in January, teacher David Bally got excited.
I mean, I showed kids Twitter feeds from Egypt. I've shown Facebook groups, YouTube videos. It's all things that they use and really connect with.
Bally chairs the social studies department at the Lyons Community School in Brooklyn, and his mother is from Syria. But Bally's 10th graders were in the middle of studying imperialism, and they needed to stay on track for the annual state exam.
If I didn't have the Regents, I could really turn this into like a teachable moment. There's history happening around us that we can't stop and like stop everything. I mean, the people of Egypt stopped their lives for everything, and I can only do that for a day or two or three.
I want you to try to think, use your creativity, use your imagination.
Bally's co-workers and high school teachers around the city express similar frustration. 10th graders, for example, were supposed to spend the early part of the year on World War II. Teachers at the Lyons School say it's already hard staying on track because so many of their students are struggling readers. The 6th through 12th grade school is under great pressure to raise its scores. But occasionally, a teacher does branch out.
What caused the revolution in Tunisia? How many people have never heard of Tunisia in their life?
Hands go up when Joshua Lewis asks that question. He's an English as a second language teacher. His 9th graders don't take a history Regents, so they have more flexibility. And 3 of them are from Yemen. Their ears perk up when he shows the class a map of the Mideast and North Africa.
You guys need to tell me where these countries are. Oman, Yemen, Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Israel, Saudi Arabia. Just a few countries. You can do all of them?
Yeah.
Do you guys think Ibrahim can do all of them?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Ibrahim El-Rubat, a small 14-year-old with thick black hair, proceeds to rattle off the correct locations for every country.
Yeah, it was right there.
Tell me.
Next to the Red Sea.
Lewis then gives the class a few brief paragraphs to read about Tunisia. Most of the 12 students are Spanish speakers, and through the reading, they learn the words autocratic, dictator, and torture.
Like when you need to know something, and they hate the people for they say what they know.
Exactly. Did you guys get that? Torture?
Lewis also shows them a picture of a man on fire and reveals it's the street peddler whose protest started the revolution in Tunisia.
Wazizi was a college graduate. Do you guys understand that?
Yeah.
Some students are more curious than others. One seems distracted, but Jadalise Placido is surprised to learn so many young people in Tunisia are unemployed, even though they have college degrees.
I want to know why they don't give them jobs.
Najib Al-Zakari and Ibrahim say their families each moved to New York from Yemen about 2 years ago.
I learned last year about black people in the United States from the history when they was fighting for their rights to be in the country, to be able to go to school.
Abraham Lincoln came and what happened in the United States and the black people. It's going to happen the same thing.
Teacher Joshua Lewis says he's thrilled whenever his students make connections like these.
The kids who are from the Middle East, we've had the cases of kids calling them terrorists. The kid who's Mexican, we've had cases of denigrating statements about him, you Mexican, right? And I think for these kids to learn about that, where this stuff is coming from, why it is that certain people in the Middle East have problems with the U.S., for them to find this out, it helps clarify all these conflicts that they're feeling.
Lewis has more freedom to go into these conflicts because he teaches English as a second language, and his 9th graders also take a regular global studies class. And the timing worked in his favor. This week, the class is studying Islam, part of its regular unit on world religions. For WNYC, I'm Beth Fertig.